Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. Now, a new INSEAD study suggests that with more women on a company's board, more market value is lost. One additional woman on the board results in a 2.3% decrease in market value, which could amount to hundreds of millions of dollars. However, the researchers also argue that fostering awareness is the first step in addressing and eliminating damaging assumptions.
Well, we speak to Kaisa Snellman, Assistant Professor of Organizational Behavior at INSEAD, on why a company with a gender diverse board of directors is interpreted as revealing a preference for diversity, but a weaker commitment to shareholder value. Well, welcome to the show, Kaisa. What was the impetus for this study and research? I mean, it just seems to reinforce a view that should not be encouraged.
The impetus for the research came from this tension that we're seeing between headlines when it comes to the relationship between diversity in corporate boards and firm performance, and the hundreds of academic studies on the topic that actually suggests that there is no relationship between these two things. So we wanted to find out ourselves, and that's how we got interested in the topic.
But it sounds like you found out that there is a relationship between, say, what's perceived the market value of a company and how many women on the board.
Sure. So let me just clarify. So looking at 15 years of data, we found absolutely no effect of increasing boardroom gender diversity on firm performance. And when we say firm performance, we're talking about return on assets. So we find that companies are not any less profitable after they appoint female directors, but nor are they any more profitable for that matter. So this goes against the common headlines when it comes to sort of the corporate benefits of diversity. But when it comes to stock market performance, the story is slightly different. We find that firms that had taken greater efforts to promote diversity, they actually saw decreases in share prices when making these appointments.
And shareholders losing confidence as a result.
Yeah. So the study sets out to things like, you know, why would it be? Like, why would shareholders be reacting this way? It doesn't make any sense if one thing that shareholders, the one thing that they care about is actual firm performance.
Yep.
So why would they adjust their future predictions on firm performance? So just to be clear, there are two different sides of performance, how the earnings and the sales and the profits of the company, and then the estimated future performance, which is baked into the stock market price. Mm-hmm. So investors are thinking, how much will the company grow and how much more will they make for their shareholders the year after and the year after that?
Mm-hmm.
So what we think is going on is that when investors see increases in board diversity, they make the connection to other diversity initiatives. So it might not be that the investors are biased against women themselves. Some might be, some might not be. But what they are picking up is that there might be a change in the corporate preferences.
Mm-hmm.
What makes them think that that would affect performance, though, of a company?
Yes. So if the investors are thinking that this company now cares less about shareholder values and more about different social initiatives, diversity just being one of them, there are other social initiatives that might be good for the world but not good for the shareholders, they might be picking up on that. So it is not necessarily about the gender of the directors. They might not even think that these women have those goals, but the fact that the company is willing to increase diversity might worry them and thinking maybe they're going to make other investments that are not profitable as well.
Why do you think there are these misconceptions about, or why do you think this particular investor bias exists? It sounds like shareholders are just really selfish.
Well, one can think of, like, what is the goal of the shareholder? There are different types of shareholders. Public pension funds, they operated with a very, very long time frame, and they also have other goals in mind. But then you have a group of investors operating with a very, very short-term time frame. It could be months, 3 months, 4 months. They don't have a 10-year time window.
Mm.
So for them, the ultimate goal is to make money, not to invest in things that, you know, are good for the environment, good for the workers, good for women, or other things. So it's the tension between this short-term and long-term goals that produces this what might be considered as a bias.
Let's talk about, though, some of the reasons which might lead shareholders in particular to lose confidence when female board members are appointed. You've said there's no direct correlation in particular with that, female board members being appointed, but there is a relationship between investing in diversity in general and the drop in market value of a company.
Yeah, so if the shareholders, the ones who are operating under a very short time frame and under a lot of pressure to return value to the people whose money they're investing in, so these are oftentimes hedge fund managers and so on, if they think that the company is distributing the profits that it's making to initiatives that do not actually have any return, that don't produce, for example, consumer goodwill or increased sales because people are more into the company, then what they are doing, they're essentially giving shareholder money to these initiatives. And this is like where the conception is coming from. So if diversity is something that is seen as a non-profit yielding initiative, then the investors might be thinking we're just using money for something that doesn't actually advance corporate goals for shareholders.
Okay, then what are some of the misconceptions with linking a preference for diversity in an organization with weaker commitment to shareholder value?
So this is a tricky thing. It might not be a misconception. There are many companies who are actually making investments in different corporate social initiatives that do not have a direct link to increased profitability. But the investors who are also standing with those corporate goals are fine with that. So if I'm making an investment, I personally want to choose companies that follow the labor laws. I want to choose to invest in companies that are good for the environment and don't go for profits at any cost. But there could be companies or investors who don't see the world the same way that personally I do. And from the investor point of view, it is hard to know. Like, they don't know, you know, which of these initiatives are, you know, net positive in some sense and which of the initiatives that the companies go for are purely charitable operations. And sometimes investors bring up these things in shareholder meetings. So there's one interesting case from, I think, 2016, where a group of shareholders challenged the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, in an annual shareholder meeting to open the books on the CSR initiatives that Apple was taking. Mm-hmm. And they were saying in the meeting, like, you know, we need to know how you're investing our money. Well, Tim Cook's response was something that they weren't expecting, and he said that
mind
it's
your
not
own
everything
business.
It's about the exactly. Well, right. He used a word that we should not use on the air.
Okay.
But basically, he told the investors to take their money and go away if they didn't like his approach.
We're speaking with Kaisa Snellman, assistant professor of organizational behavior at INSEAD. How then can we, this million-dollar question, get investors to then embrace gender diversity?
First of all, like we can. Part of the idea, like why I think this study is valuable, is to actually get the investors to be accountable for the sort of the discussion that they're initiating themselves. So when we talk to shareholders these days, a lot of them are saying, like, you know, we need improvements in diversity. Well, if that's what they want, they should then stand behind their words. When we looked at the five largest activist shareholders in the United States for a five-year period, and who were the directors that they managed to nominate on corporate boards as part of this shareholder activist initiative, there were over 100 people, and they only nominated 7 women. So maybe we can start from there.
Mm-hmm.
So for the shareholder activists who are pushing for diversity, let's see, you know, if you can stand by your word and find a few female candidates that you are nominating to boards.
Mm-hmm. So is it still a good thing to have gender quotas on the board then? I mean, how can organizations frame women board members' appointment more effectively to kind of counter investor bias?
So that's sort of two not related questions, but let me take the latter one first. So from sort of the investor point of view, we can think, like, if investors have nothing to worry about, that the latest board appointment was made for any other reason than improving the company's performance, then it should have no effect on share prices. So that companies can, you know, they have some say on that, how they frame these appointments. So when appointing a new member, if they can share light on the expertise that this person will bring onto the board and construct a narrative that makes sense. Like, we are choosing this person because we are extending operations to Asia, and this person is an Asia expert, or we have had a corporate scandal involving sexual harassment. We are now bringing a person to the board who has expertise from dealing with sexual harassment scandals in organizations. That type of narrative should be something that is reassuring to the investors. And while doing that, personally, I don't think it is a good idea to highlight the gender of the female directors that we're appointing. Just highlight their expertise.
Mm. There's strong evidence, though, that diverse and inclusive teams make better and faster decisions, leading to improved outcomes. Push that narrative, then.
So this is tricky, too, because the diversity that these studies are referring to refers to cognitive diversity. So people with different values, different ideas. So if we take a group of people who need to construct a new ad campaign, it can be a great idea in this kind of creative environments to have people who think very differently, to come together, fight and argue, and come up with a new solution. In science, this is often the case that we want people from different disciplines to come together to tackle these really big, complex problems like the environmental crisis that we're in. Like, we need to, in order to solve these complex problems, we need to change our thinking. But when it comes to corporate boards, people who are on these boards are fairly similar in terms of their education, in their corporate experience, and in their expertise, and oftentimes also in their values. So it's a little bit questionable whether there is actually going to be a shift in cognitive diversity depending on the gender balance on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should we go for gender diversity for other reasons? Yes, of course. Like, we should not, you know, close doors for capable women just because of their gender. But we should also not put the burden on them to say that, you know, we're just women, we're not, you know, superheroes. One woman cannot change the way that a company operates,
mm-hmm.
for better or worse.
Well, Kaisa Simon, Assistant Professor of Organizational Behavior at INSEAD, thank you very much for coming on our show today.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.